Mary's Birthday. A tribute to Mary Wollstonecraft for the 250th anniversary of her birth, in her own words and with music of the period. A drawing room in Somers Town, near Old St Pancras Church, London, sometime in 1790. Sorry the day I was married, and sorry the day I was wed, and it's so if I only had tarried when I to the altar was led.
From the tyranny of man, I firmly believe the greater number of female follies proceed. I wish to persuade women to endeavour to acquire strength, both of mind and body. I wish them to think about those pretty feminine phrases which the men condescendingly use to soften our slavish dependence, such as elegancy of mind, exquisite sensibility, and sweet docility of manners. Such descriptions view women as if they were in a state of perpetual childhood, unable to stand alone.
It would almost provoke a smile of contempt if the vain absurdities of man did not strike us on all sides, to observe how eager men are to degrade the sex from whom they pretend to conceive the chief pleasure of life.
In the physical world, it is observable that the female, in point of strength, is, in general, inferior to the male. But not content with this natural preeminence, men endeavour to sink us still lower, merely to render us alluring objects for a moment.
Abstract truths, the principles and axioms of sciences, and in short, everything which tends to generalise our ideas is not the proper province of women. As to works of genius, they're beyond their capacity.
I have allowed that bodily strength seems to give man a natural superiority over woman. But this is the only basis on which the superiority of the sex can be built. I insist that not only the virtue, but the knowledge of the two sexes should be the same in nature. Women ought to endeavour to acquire human perfections by the same means as men, instead of being educated like fanciful half-beings.
A woman should never for a moment feel herself independent. She should be an alluring object of desire, a sweeter companion to man, whenever he chooses to relax himself.
What nonsense! When will a great man arise with sufficient strength of mind to puff away the fumes which pride and sensuality have spread over the subject?
Men have always submitted to superior strength to enjoy with impunity the pleasure of the moment. Women have only done the same. It cannot be demonstrated that woman is essentially inferior to man because she has always been subjugated.
Women are told from their infancy and taught by the example of their mothers that a little knowledge of human weakness, softness of temper, and outward obedience will obtain for them the protection of man.
And should they be beautiful, everything else is needless for at least 20 years of their lives.
So the mind shapes itself to the body, and roaming round its gilt cage only seeks to adorn its prison.
Considering the length of time that women have been dependent, is it surprising that some of them hug their chains and fawn like a spaniel?
Woman has nothing in her favour but her subtlety and her beauty. Is it not very reasonable, therefore, she should cultivate both?
He is afraid lest the austerity of reason should disturb the soft playfulness of love. The master wishes to have a slave to fondle, entirely dependent on his reason and bounty. He only admits love for the relaxation of men and the perpetuation of the species.
Woman was not created merely to gratify the appetite of man or to be the upper servant who provides his meals and takes care of his linen.
Yet it is masculine for a woman to be melancholy.
So she was created to be the toy of man, his rattle, which must jingle in his ears whenever he chooses to be amused.
If woman be formed to please and be subjected to man, it is her place, without doubt, to render herself agreeable to him, instead of challenging his passion. The violence of his desires depends on her charms. And the most successful method of exciting them is to render such exertion necessary by resistance.
I shall make no other comment on this ingenious statement than just to observe that it is the philosophy of lasciviousness.
And what is more, one lively writer asks what business women turned of 40 have to do in the world.
The first and most important qualification in a woman is good nature, or sweetness of temper, formed to obey a being so imperfect as man. She ought to learn early even to suffer injustice and to bear the insults of a husband without complaint. It's not for his sake but her own that she should be of a mild disposition. The perverseness and ill nature of the women only serve to aggravate their own misfortunes and the misconduct of their husbands.
But all the sacred rights of humanity are violated by insisting on blind obedience.
Surely there can be but one rule of right in morality.
And the sexual distinction, which men have so warmly insisted upon, is arbitrary.
I consider women in the grand light of human creatures, who, in common with men, are placed on this earth to unfold their faculties.
I love man as my fellow, but his sceptre extends not to me unless the reason of an individual demands my homage. Even then, the submission is to reason, not to man.
In what does man's preeminence over the brute creation consist?
In reason. And what acquirement exalts one being above another?
Virtue.
Elegance is inferior to virtue. The first object of laudable ambition is to obtain a character as a human being, regardless of the distinction of sex.
Let their faculties have room to unfold and their virtues to gain strength, and then determine where the whole sex must stand in the intellectual scale.
From their birth, girls have a fondness for dolls, dressing, talking. And a girl should not dance with spirit, and men will draw conclusions which she little thinks of.
The attention to dress, which has been thought a sexual propensity, I think natural to mankind. And through the whole animal kingdom, Every young creature requires almost continual exercise.
A girl whose spirits have not been damped by inactivity or innocence tainted by false shame will always be a romp. And the doll will never excite attention unless confinement allows her no alternative. Girls and boys, in short, would play harmlessly together if the distinction of sex was not inculcated long before nature makes any difference.
Educate women like men, and the more they resemble our sex, the less power they'll have over us.
This is the very point I aim at. I do not wish them to have power over men, but over themselves.
Unless virtue is nursed by liberty, it will never attain due strength.
But what have women to do in society?
Surely you would not condemn them all, as Othello says, to suckle fools and chronicle small beer. No. Women might certainly study the art of healing and be physicians as well as nurses.
They might also study politics.
Business of various kinds they might likewise pursue.
The few employments open to women are menial. And when superior education enables them to take charge of the education of children as governesses, they are not treated like the tutors of sons.
How many women thus waste life away, the prey of discontent, who might have practised as physicians, regulated a farm, managed a shop, and stood erect, supported by their own industry.
How much more respectable than the most accomplished beauty is the woman who earns her own bread by fulfilling any duty?
Women would not then marry for a support. Now, as for marriage...
Alas! Husbands are often only overgrown children. And if the blind lead the blind, one need not come from heaven to tell us the consequences.
Sorry the day I was married, and sorry the day I was wed, and it's so, if I only had tarried when I to the altar was led.
When I was a young girl, I was bonny, had silks and fine jewels to wear. Red were my cheeks like the berry, my heart it was free from all care. Now I've none for the wearing, my jewels have all flown away. Surely this life is past bearing, I'm pale as a primrose today. Sweet liberty, as long as you can, you must tarry and not be lamenting like me.
It is time to effect a revolution in female manners, time to restore to them their lost dignity, and make them, as part of the human species, labour by reforming themselves to reform the world.
Reason calls for the respect of the rights of women and loudly demands justice for one half of the human race.
As for pudding is the
liquor is the cat.
Man. all the